Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I am broadcasting from California with Neil Baker, psychic author. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
We've got several callers in the queue today, so thanks, everybody, for joining us. We're glad to have you here. Of course, we love your support, and if you could please follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, we would be eternally grateful. Also, if you could join us on Facebook or like our fan page, that would be wonderful as well. We're on Twitter, and Neil's books are available on Amazon.com. He is also available 562-596-7818 for further discussion beyond the radio show. Email inquiries will just redirect you to that phone number. So if there are any questions about personal conversations, definitely give Neil a call at that number because you will reach me online, not Neil. Today we are going to be discussing the number 8 in a birth date code. And so obviously that's going to apply to number 8 as a master number or whether it's in the actual birth date as well. And it's going to signify different meanings depending on where it is located in the birth date, correct?
That's absolutely true.
In the month and day versus the year, or again, versus the karmic number or the master number.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I'm picking 8 today, not for any deep meaning. All the numbers are important in the system of energy, but I'm choosing 8 today only because people have a problem with the number 8. Typically in numerology, you assume that 8 has a, if you're aware of numerology and its meanings, 8 has a typical number of money, power, that kind of thing. And even though 8 does occupy, that number does occupy those themes, of money and power on both an egotistical level and on a higher, if you will, transcendent level. 8 can command nations, they can command religions, they can command small congregations. Also, it's the symbol of eternity, so we've got that.
The symbol
going.
Of eternity, but 9 is the eternal number because it adds anything 9 adds to becomes
yes.
eternal. But 8 has that.
8 has that
continuous motion throughout the number.
Yeah, and it's continuous, and it's been signified in, on its side as the symbol of eternity. But also, when you look at 8, it occupies two spheres. It's actually, when you look at it, it's actually two circles. And that is the energy between the material or the physical world and the spiritual world and the union between the two. So usually when you have that element, and as we all know in school, when you do an 8, typically it's supposed to, the zeros are supposed to be uniform, but in the classical way of designing an 8, the circle at the top is supposed to be smaller than the circle at the bottom, It's almost like a, it looks like a snowman.
Right, and I see that rarely done when people are handwriting aids.
Yeah.
Gotten sloppier.
You know, it all depends on, some people do it, when people were lazy, they would do an eight by doing one circle and then putting another circle underneath it. In school, you classically, in the classical way, you draw an eight by making a loop and then going around and spinning around like Snoopy on the ice. You're doing figure eights. In many regards, the spheres are uniform, but in classical design, the spheres, the smaller is small, the top is smaller than the bottom. Now, when you look at those elements, what you're really looking at is the attitude of the human being in the universe. So a human being, the head is smaller, the body expands, it arches out. Usually we don't have a head bigger than our body unless we're kind of egotistical. But in that regard, what we've got is the concept that the spiritual realm and the earthly realm are in contrast to one another, and yet they're interconnected. And because we are in the world, we are, after all, in the world, and people say that we are spiritual beings that are temporarily occupying a human body, a human form. But that uniform energy that we are in the world has a great expansiveness because we are usually overwhelmed by things in the world. So our group of life is to walk through the planet and to do what we need to do karmically. And basically, the spiritual realm is beyond us. It's something that's maybe locked in our brain. It's part of maybe our karma. We have it in our consciousness. But the majority of us don't wake up and go to bed every day thinking only about spiritual things, and the earth means very little to us. Usually the earth takes predominance, and the spiritual realms are something that we think about on a relative basis. Well, the eight combines those two energies, and people who have eights in their master numbers are usually people that have gone through seven incarnations, and yet they haven't transcended the planet. So they're coming back to learn a certain sense of balance, and of course, eight is the balance form.
Seven incarnations. That's a fixed rule or flexible? I mean, someone may be at 26-8 versus a 35-8. So what's...
Well, the accumulation of karmic energies is sometimes confusing because you can have an accumulation of karmic energy, like a 26 is an 8, a 35 is an 8, a 17 is an 8, but they each occupy
a
different...
An 8 is an 8. We have 8s even nowadays because of the 2000.
But so it depends a lot on the correlation between what your master number is in terms of also how many years of karma you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that can get a little bit confusing. I don't have time to get into the details of how those differences occur on a karmic transcendent level. But when we just deal with the master number 8, whether it's comprised of a 17 or a 35 or a 26, we're still dealing with the attitude that these people are coming down to finalize their score with the earth. Usually are people that have attained a lot of power. Now, it doesn't mean have to be they're rich, but they attain a lot of power. They're usually noteworthy people. They make the news, they make headlines, or even in their community they make the news. If they don't make the news, then they're giants in their own field. They're heads of companies. Maybe they have 120 employees, but they don't necessarily have to be in the news.
They can be business owners,
Business owners.
Small business command. Even.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they're...
They usually have they're not usually loners. They're usually at the top of a pyramid, but they're not usually loners. They need that energy beneath them in order to kind of, if you will, glorify their essence. They need the recognition. So eights aren't typically loners. And yet it's confusing because an eight is very high in their ideals. So when you're high in your ideals, you're supposed to be more connected and related to God or the universe or spirituality. Not always the case if the ego is overwhelming the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But in that regard, you know, people who have eights in their numbers, you can rest assured that, well, number one, you're an old soul. Number two, that you basically are built to have genuine spiritual realizations.
So you should be transcending the planet as an eight. I mean,
you can transcend the planet
in the best of worlds,
number, but
of course,
eight,
but
you get up to an eight, and
it's
and
a transcendent
not,
number. There's no eighth chakra in the body.
That's right. It transcends the immediate crown of the body. It gets into the etheric realm. Sometimes eights are brought back to the planet to do something important. Now, what about when an eight is working in their lifetime, but they're doomed to come back or maybe they're obligated to come back as a nine? I've met several nines. Nines is the eternal power. They are given a chance to keep going through every ordeal possible, and they just keep coming back. Nines is like the last gunfight at the OK Corral. They're here to work through their issues. If you're a nine, then you've actually kind of failed in the attempt to transcend as an eight. So eights have to be aware of both sevens and nines.
Mm-hmm.
Sevens meaning that something in your spiritual life was amiss, so you had to come back. Nines will be that if you don't make it as an eight and transcend with that seventh quality, you're going to come back as a nine.
So you're saying in the birthday code, if there's a seven or a nine, it's a piece of information that individual can work with.
Yes.
What about if that eight is broken on one side of the birth date and solid on the other?
Well, that means that there was a strong past life power. But in that past life power, the individual lost touch with humanity. There's something got into the ego, and the person rose above every other human being, and they lost touch with their fellow human beings and became a god unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lost touch with humanity. That means that they shattered the seventh energy, because the seventh energy is service to humanity. So a lot of our high leaders, who are supposed to be public servants after all, their egos, as we know, get in the way of their power, and they lose touch with humanity. A lot of the despots and rulers and kings and dictators, even in some regards presidents, when it gets down to it, we lose touch with the human factor, even though we do lip service to it. So, and that can be on a big scale, it can be on a lower scale, it's all relative to the energy of the human being, but eights, when you have an eight, you can use that number as a form of power. You can channel it into the power of divinity, into the power of humanity, or if you want, you can channel it into the power of your ego. You're just going to have consequences. It's a little bit riskier. But eights are interesting numbers, and they're powerful numbers. And we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg in terms of choosing one number for the day, and even at that, discussing what that one number means.
As we always do. I notice callers are dropping and coming back, so I don't know if Blog Talk Radio is knocking you off, but if they are, when we bring you on, let us know.
They're returning after their drop?
One of them has. One of them didn't. Our 828 is gone, unfortunately, and they were our first caller.
828, huh? They...
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to hear it. They've already gotten their phone number, and they don't need to hear anymore.
I guess not. Okay, let's take a caller from 206 area code. Good morning, 206.
Hi, this is Kate.
Hi, Kate. Oh, Kate.
Yeah. Kate. I had 9/22/67.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, last time I had two questions, and I understand the one question, rule. So I just wanted to get back to the other question I had last time was about finding a place to live in the Bay Area.
So you moved to San Francisco, right? And you don't have
right. You're
staying with friends, or what's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm actually working right now. back in Seattle, and I'm moving permanently back March 1st. So I'm looking for a place in March or April.
Wait a second. You're moving permanently back to San Francisco?
Bay Area. Yeah, San Francisco.
Go ahead.
I'm not set in the city. I don't have to live in the mix of everything, you know, out in the outlying areas. I'm fine to,
mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I loved the big city. And now when you get older, I like a little quieter place.
Yeah, it's noisy in cities. San Francisco can be noisy.
So you're in Seattle now, working in Seattle, and you're planning to move back to the Bay Area, San Francisco area, and you want to know about a place to live in San Francisco where you may be living?
Yeah, because, for example, if you go on Craigslist, you compete with 100 people for one listing. It's so competitive for openings. And I feel like maybe I should, it's more through a personal connection or friend of a friend or just kind of how to go about it.
Okay.
How to find a place.
Here we are in the radio and I'm trying to do a personal reading for you. I'm going to tell you the first clue that I come up with in terms of your living space. It's somewhere near or around a music studio. Now, what does music mean to you in your life? Have you ever played an instrument on a personal level, any music lessons? Have you ever lived near a musical establishment?
I did as a child play an instrument, but music is important to me. I always have music playing. I always go to see live music. I always go to festivals, things like that.
Okay, so music is wrapped up in your life, as it is in most people. We can't avoid it, but some of us take that extra step to participate in music. It sounds like you at least take the initial extra step. And then you played an instrument as a child. Did you move around at least 3 times before you were 18? Did you live in 3 different homes, or was it all just one home?
One home to 18.
Till 18. And what? How old were you when you first made your move from the first home?
17. Well, college. It was college. So, yeah, 18 exactly.
18. Yeah, that's what I'm picking up on, Kate, that at 18 you made at least one move starting at that age. And so that might have been between the age of 18 and 22 when you could have made a move again. How long did you stay in your second move?
I moved a lot in my 20s. I moved almost every year. So.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So 22, you're going to be moving too, and you moved a lot. That's where I'm picking up on this move energy. Okay, so what you've got to do is start to locate where there are music studios. I don't care. You know, it could be a small music store. It could be a small music studio. It could be a recording studio. They're all over the place, and not everyone has to be, you know, renowned. So you can go to the city and see them all over the place, just little places where there's music. That's where you're going to be living near one of those, and that's where I think you're gravitating towards. So that's your first clue. So on your visual map or your virtual map, look for where there are music studios or where music is played, and then start looking at the surrounding 2 to 3 mile radius, no more than that. And if you had to walk there, you could if you had to. So you don't want it to be any more, relatively speaking, than 3 miles. And that's where you're going to find your place in the Bay Area.
Well, that's wonderful. I'll go do that right now.
Truro Hill. There's a lot of stuff like that over there, and it's more residential. It's quieter in that area.
Oh, okay.
So that would be...
What hill?
Truro Hill in San Francisco.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
so much.
Kate.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
There's a lot of industrial stuff in that area, you know, like warehouses and people rent music spaces. There's studios where you know.
Oh.
People, and it's a quieter part of San Francisco than like if you were in, you know, the Mission or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more neighborhoody feeling.
Well,
okay.
That might be the area. I mean, yeah.
Unless she goes outside, but okay. Let's see, 928 area code is our next.
Hi.
Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good, how are you? Who is this, please?
My name is Laurel.
Hi, Laurel.
Yeah,
Laurel, we emailed back and forth a while back.
Yes.
Yes.
And I first spoke with Neil, maybe 2 years ago, and it was through another Blog Talk Radio.
Neil
gave me some information back then that just really changed my life. Well, it didn't change my life. It just put my life on track.
That's great. Well, you know, the email that you sent, I don't know if you remember Neil, but she had had a dream, and she was told some things about you in the dream by spirit guides. It was a really powerful message, and so I shared that with you. And anyway, we really appreciated that, Laurel. So thank you. I'm glad to have you here today.
And what Neil had shared with me a couple of years ago in a brief, you know, phone-in reading was I write constantly, and I've been informed through my guidance and through my work that it is part of my assignment here to leave 1,000,000+ words on the planet before I leave. I'm, you know, to just write and write. That's my way to help touch large groups of people. And we get these pieces of information, and we know what we have in our hearts, and we humanize it. And I spoke with Neil, and Neil said, "Why aren't you writing?" And, you know, you've got a legacy to leave, and it's in written word, and you just need to get busy with the writing. And that, for me, coming from someone who at the time was a total stranger and never a word shared between the two of us or an energy, it really fired me up. It just completely got me going. So I'm writing a fourth book right now. All of them are kind of working together in a beautiful way. I just thought, given the opportunity, I'd catch up with Neil again this morning. And, you know, so it's up there.
Laurel, can we get your birth date, please?
Yes, it is March. Do you want the year as well?
Yeah, everything, please.
Okay, 03-27-1958.
Okay, don't put, and you have an 8, which is right on topic today. Don't ever put a 0 in your birth date that doesn't belong there, because it signifies a loss, so the vibration of your voice can, you know, add something that really doesn't need to be a part of the birth date. So just 3, 3, 27, 58, 5,
yes.
12, 22, and 13. You're 35, 8. Am I right? Isn't that right? No. 3, 4,
yeah.
5, yeah.
Yeah, there, you're an 8.
Interesting.
Just like what we were talking about.
How weird, Laurel. You called on the perfect day.
Yeah. The element of, and thank you for sharing that little brief history between us, and it still absolutely resounds and rings true throughout your lifetime. When I was talking about your literary energies and your writing energies, you actually have in a past life a broken up element of writing. Writing is more invested in the fifth chakra, the communication chakra. Your communication chakra in a past life was broken up by a 3-2, and it's next to a 7, meaning that there was something in your communication level regarding spirituality in a past life, but the writing of your spirit the writing content of your spirit in a past life got broken up. Something got broken up, so who knows what it was. Maybe it was tragedy or an ego or a loss of faith, but something in the element of your writing, Laurel, disturbed your spirit and vice versa, and there became a battle. Now, that 3-2 in your month and day, notice how it forms together and becomes a 5 in your year, and now it's next to an 8, as in 58, which also happens to be your master number, 8. So I've got an 8 in your year, an 8 in your master number. There's now a form of a 5 in your year, and indeed your karmic number is indeed 35. So what you're doing in this lifetime, Laurel, is that you're reaching back to a past life as a writer. You're getting the evolution of your brain and spirit now is coming in to repair what was broken. You're correcting it by regrouping with the writing essence, and now your writing rings true with the universe. So you've come full circle, like that 8 does. It returns, and as it returns, it brings with it the newest consciousness that it has grown to become. So you're going back to a past life with new consciousness and redirecting the content of your writing into something transcendent is the general map consciousness of your life right now. And your ability to do a million words, that's just a million words is the symbolism of eternity. It's just, you know, a million words. Your content will overflow. And that's where the basis of this is. So you're on the right path in that regard. In terms of your age, we are still, as of today, we're at 56 years old. So you're going to be writing. There's no doubt about it. You got many years to write, but mandatory 2 more years. There's no escaping that. You can renew it thereafter, but when you're 58, there's going to be a very strong element of change in your energy field. Now, what's going on at 56? Your master number is 8, you see, and that's 8 times 7. So you are on a multiple of 8 as we speak. By seventh energy. So today, this year, between now and next March, meaning this March to next March even, you're going to be working on a spiritual book.
Mm-hmm.
And then that might, you know, help to raise the consciousness. It doesn't have to be 500 pages, but this particular book. But probably I would suggest that you either publish it traditionally or self-publishing.
Okay.
The other thing, Laurel, real briefly before we go to the next caller, is that there's going to be the loss. Someone's going to cross over around you. They probably will be younger. I don't want to get into names or anybody like that, and I don't want to put out any bells of alarm here. It will just be in the natural flow of life, but I do see a younger person that you know crossing over. There might be out of the smoke arises some kind of drug problem, and I don't have to necessarily say it's somebody within the family, but it is somebody that you know, or an offspring of someone you know. A sibling, a child, someone's child that grew up, and you know them through the parent. Do you know anyone currently with any kind of drug problem?
Yes, a couple of it's so prevalent in young ones. It's not. I won't say so prevalent. It is definitely there. For so many young ones, and a lot of the young ones that are really on the higher level of consciousness without really knowing what to do with it in our society, It's something that I work with very closely in council work that I do, and I'm looking at going forward into some community work around young ones. I do have an offspring that really loves being altered in that way, and you know, he's a very his consciousness level, his ability to transcend is so high that you know, keeping him sort of regulated has in the past been much more of a challenge than it is now. But working with young ones and having a sense of all of the drug use, I'm considered an elder in a large community, and one of my greatest hopes for this young group, or what I call the young elders, is to let them see that their lucidity comes from dreams and you know, lucid consciousness and not drug-related or by enhancing through any form of hallucinogenics or, you know, street drugs kind of a thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I was coming up with this spontaneously, and I wasn't even aware that you worked with younger people or had this capacity or this job description. So it's coming in through angelic channels, the information to me, and so your everything you're saying has a beautiful content to it and intent. And so just keep formulating that energy, be very strong as a tribal leader. And as much as people have their free wills, and sometimes tribal leaders only basically cosmically instruct and respect the free will of the individual, whether it's self-destructive or not, try to approach with a sense of authority that there are measures that must be taken on a conscious level to avert self-destructive patterns, and keep moving in that area, aside from just letting the flow of life be what it may, even though you may instruct otherwise. So there's a strength coming up, and I must tell you that in regards to the intimacy of your journey being an elder, you know, beckon to the universe to make that very cohesive, to make it very concrete, so that there's a strong bond. I have worked with younger people too, and in my experiences of lost people to drugs and alcohol and things like that, and I've learned through my own earthly errors how to better improve the content of my counsel. So we all are on a learning level, and but I applaud your work, and I think it's fantastic that we are able to get this amount of information in on the radio.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. I think that you, I feel that you are one of our great, great voices of ascension in this day, and I'm so grateful for you, and so grateful for every, you know, for the opportunities that I've had to have this kind of sharing with you. You're really an amazing, amazing channel, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, Laurel, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number, and we will bring on our 916 caller. Good morning.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Who's this?
Yeah, hi. This is Nancy. Hi.
Nancy.
Yeah, I'm another number eight. And so I was interested in the show because I want to see, you know, where I can go, you know, evolve from the number eight you were talking about.
Of course. Talk to you about that. What is your birth date?
Okay, it's 8-2-1951.
8-2-51. Yeah, and so it's in your month and in your master number, as you said, 26-8.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, indeed, you're it's amazing, Nancy, that you're calling on this day because, yes, not only are you a number eight by a karmic element of 26, which would actually bring you to 1977, I believe, 51, 61, 31, 32. Yeah, 1977, when you would have had a transfer of karmic to transcendent energy at the age of 26, even though it's not divisible by eight, it's still the karmic element of your energy. 24 would have been divisible by eight, the age of 24, but 26, there should have been a change. I don't know if we ever discussed that with you, but...
Probably, but it could...
But there would have been a change around that time, Nancy. And you see, what's going on with you is that you've come all the way back to this planet to regroup with the first element of how you started the planet. You start out an eight, which is your master number. You drop six. So notice that six that you drop, that goes to a two in your day. So visualize the six between the eight and two. That's 26. That's your karmic number. So you actually came back to the planet to regroup with one specific lifetime. There's one of your lifetimes you're regrouping with. When there was power that was reduced by the ego of sexuality. So there's something in the sexual escapades of your past life, that Tom Jones era, if you will, where you were a little bit risque. Now we're talking about a past life. We might be talking about the Elizabethan era or the, Henry Fielding, Tom Jones, somewhere in that era where you were running around and having a good time, and that life of hedonism, if you will, created a element of karma, and yet you were very powerful. Any what's in this lifetime? Any divorces, Nancy?
Oh yes, I'm married now, but yes, I had a couple of divorces.
Okay, so you wrap that up. Those were karmic. You know, listen, I'm suggesting that you could be an actualized date this time. You don't have to necessarily go through this lifetime and now come back because you failed again. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying, hey, we're all back on the planet. We all did something wrong to get it right, myself included. And so we're all trying to get it right this time. And that's a sloppy word, but give me the benefit of the doubt as to what we significantly would label as what is right in a spiritual context, which is being true and loyal and faithful and having integrity and doing good work and helping human beings and things like that. That's part of the element of your energy, Nancy. And this eight, you wake up every day thinking, you know, aside from just the stereotype of a number system, because we're human beings, we're not numbers. But to wake up and say, my God, I'm an eight. I'm here to transcend. I'm here to do something of significance on this planet. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to work hard and get on Time Magazine or whatever choice you want, but it means that you have to work hard to show that in your world you've made a difference. That's what's important. And that you're just not here to go to the movies and have a good restaurant and listen to some music and, you know, be nice to the people you meet. And your life is basically kind of conveniently mundane but uneventful. You want to make an impact. And wherever that may be, you know, on a volunteer basis, you've got to make a difference. And that's what I think you're still able to do. And you know what else? Eight times eight is going to be 64. When you turn 64, this is going to be the year of celebration for you. Don't think of it as an age of getting older. Think of it as an age of rebirth.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? I mean, that sounds very interesting.
No, we've got so many callers, Nancy.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's all right. I understand. But, you know, sometimes we have more time than others today. We've got a long list of callers.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know you wanted to ask.
I understand.
Well, she asked a question. The question was about her being an eight.
That was the question.
Okay.
But you can always call the show again, and you can call Neil directly, 562-596-7818. Nancy, thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's just so busy. And, you know, of course, when we have the time, we can accommodate people, but today we just don't.
Yeah, I forgot. She did ask about an eight, so
unfortunately.
So we kind of answered the question, but maybe another time we'll get to this.
Yeah, hopefully we will. Okay. The board is a bit jumbled. We have 757 next, then 9, then 210. I mean, I'm sorry, 212. 757 and 212. Let me take 757, please. First, good morning, 757.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening. It's me to you.
Okay, I just wanted
to listen.
All right. I didn't notice they didn't have their hand raised. 212.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Christy.
With a C?
Yes.
All right. Christy, welcome.
I-E or Y?
With a Y.
Yeah. C-H-R-I-S-T-Y.
Yes.
Christy, okay. Christy. And I'm Kristen, perfect.
Right?
I see a lot. Which isn't quite right, but I'm sure your name gets mangled too, Christy.
Yeah.
Okay. People have a hard time with it for some reason. Kristen, Kirsten, Kirsten, Christina.
Yeah, everything under the sun, right?
Sure. What's your birth date, Christy? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York City, and my birthday is 5/1/1990.
5/1/90. And what brings you to our show?
Well, my mama called Laurel, so I figured
okay.
I'd call in too.
Great. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
All right. What's your question, Christy?
Oh, I didn't have a question. I just thought I would give you my birth date and see what you guys would come. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Your mother's Laurel. I thought you might be Hardy, but I was wrong.
I didn't even get that. She was born in 1990.
If you don't know who Lauren Hardy is, you should. Okay, but anyways. It's like, you're master number 7, Christy.
Yeah.
And the element of a 7 has in it a wonderful quality of spiritual energy. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be a spiritualist or have some kind of mystical life, but it does mean that what you do in this world, this planet, you affect others, you affect many. I know sevens that are great teachers, not necessarily religious or spiritual, but they're just good teachers. They help people. They've inspired people. They're school teachers. They're musical teachers. They can be sports teachers. You know, a 7 usually involves, typically a 7 will be around younger people or influential. They're influences, and they help and influence others. That's what a 7 does. That's what it's built to do. Now, what's interesting about you and your mom, your mom's an 8 and you're a 7. That's a 15, isn't it? Invert it, 51, that's your month and day.
Yeah.
So now, what this tells me is that Christy and Laurel shared a past life. You were actually involved in a past life with your mother. And I do believe that that past life had a lot to do with a bloodline, too. I mean, you might have been Eskimos. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to follow through in the same bloodline. That's why human beings have such diversity and interest in other cultures, because they had past lives there. But you have that energy going, Christy. Also, you're articulate. Do you have a degree? Did you go to college?
No, I went to the University of Life.
Well, okay.
I didn't go to college. Barely went to high school.
Well, you know, this is intriguing to me because you have an intellectual pursuit involved. What do you do for work?
I'm actually a mom right now. I just had a baby, so I'm just doing that.
Okay, you're just doing that. Now, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Oh, well, you're going to be making it. You're making a... Well, you know, I was talking about children and feeling the energy of children around you. Now, maybe I was absorbing this child of yours. I don't know. Could be. But at the age of 25, you're going to be making a change.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen. And I am, and my prediction, you may not see it yet, but I'm geared to see into the light of the future. There's something going to happen significantly with you. What are your interests in life, aside from being a mom?
I like to write. I've wanted to write for some time.
Okay. Didn't I mention writing?
Yes, you did.
Not everybody has to be a writer, but everyone has the right to be a writer. I think writing's important. But I am going to make a prediction on the radio today that you're going to end up writing a book, and that this book will probably be published, not self-published, but traditionally published. In other words, you're going to be able to pick up a publisher, even in this day and age where self-publishing is becoming more predominant than traditional publishing. So I think you should start to map out what do you want to do, a novel, or what's your...
Well, I've been researching on not science fiction, but a book for teens, for young ones.
There you go. Okay, stop the ball right now, because we don't have much time. But I'm going to tell you something important for your ears to hear. I said instructor for younger people. This is what you're bound to do. I'm telling you information from a higher channel, you see, that probably this science fiction book, however you want to creatively compose it, is going to be published. So you work hard on it, and you're going to see, maybe I won't be around by the time, well, I should be around, I'm not dropping dead yet, but you should call back on the show and say, hey, I published the book, and thank you. Because it was true, and I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
So you keep working at that, and I'm telling you, you'll probably have a little bit of angel intervention in the course of your writing hours.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Christy, thank you so much for your
call.
And
I'll shake your hands and tell you about my book in person. How about that, Neil?
That sounds
All right. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thank
I'm jealous
you.
She's in New York City because I
really?
Love, I do love New York. I love New York. It's a wonderful place. I hope to be visiting there much more in the future. You know, interesting that they're both writers, mother and daughter.
Yeah, we talked about their numbers becoming 15 together, and that, you know, that shows that there's going to be a link between the two of them, too.
Yeah.
It comes from the writing element.
And they may be interested in your books as well, Neil. Neil is also a writer. He has several books published, fiction books, and we're currently working on a numerology book together. So maybe we can exchange books at some point in person with these two.
Yeah, the book club.
That's right. All right. Okay. I'm going to take 337. We've got 11 minutes, and then 856, who just dropped. So I guess I won't be taking 856. But 337, I'm sorry, yes, 337 is right. Let me grab them.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Candace, hi. 11-23-83. So, first question, did you watch the American Voices special?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I
okay.
Loved it. Yes, I did.
Tell me.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Isn't it? Wasn't it an amazing show? I loved it, too. What was your favorite? Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm really trying to, at this point now, trying to download the whole season.
Is there a whole season?
there's a couple of extra episodes. So I'm trying to, on Netflix, I'm trying to see if I can download all of them.
Really? As far as I knew, there was only one 90-minute show. We're talking about the same show with Renee Fleming, and there was, a bunch of different singers on there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So what is your question for us today?
I would like to see where you, what do y'all pick up on for me? I guess I have an 8 in my number, but I would love to see what y'all pick up on for me this year.
Yeah, you do have an 8. What is her number? I haven't even had it.
28101.
So she's got a dinner.
Anything specifically important for this year for me?
Well, okay, Candace, there's some reason this year something's coming up where first of all, I want to say this without alarming you, because there's no reason to be alarmed, but there's some reason why you visit a hospital. You're going to find yourself visiting, and I say visiting, a hospital. Is there anybody in your life that is now having any problem with health, diabetes, anything with a problem, anybody around you with a health issue currently?
No.
So it's no, and I'm caught in a scene where you're visiting a hospital. Is your mother alive?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Let's just explore this just for a second. How is she doing? How is her health?
She's good. She's a person. She works out and stuff like that. She's been having a little leg issue.
A what?
Leg.
Yeah, leg. That's it. She's the one. Because diabetes usually goes into the leg as it manifests and has problems. Now, I'm not suggesting she has diabetes, but I'm suggesting that that's probably the element that I'm seeing. Now, I do not want to do a radio show where, you're calling the radio show and you go, oh, what news? What are you talking about? A hospital? My mother? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in my team of angels to just erase this vision I'm seeing, and it won't happen. So
okay.
I'm going to do that, and let's assume that by faith, whatever happened today on the radio, it's not going to happen at all, because I saw something. And I want to ask you something else, Candace. Who did anyone ever in your life around you was an avid golf player or even liked to play golf?
I have a brother-in-law who loves playing golf.
Brother-in-law loves golf.
Your brother-in-law loves golf. So this is my idea, that an angel has heard my request to eliminate any hospital need, and it's gone. So I think we can pretty much say we stop something from happening.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He had a
torn ACL a few years ago. He actually had surgery on it again about 2 years ago. So,
where? It's kind of hard to hear.
A torn ACL.
ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Knee.
Uh-huh.
So maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
connected.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing. There's an element with your mom's leg, your brother-in-law's leg. So that's where I think we're getting our validation, but we've established the elimination of any hospital visit. So that's the good news if we're in good standing here.
All right. Candace.
Mm.
That's it, I guess. Is there anything else, Neil?
No. I want to emphasize that this is a positive thing, and I think with angelic intervention, we've stopped something, so that's great.
All right. Okay, well, thanks for your call, Candace, and enjoy that show. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more call, Neil. It's from Nathaniel. 5-1. You know, what's interesting is that Nathaniel is born, excuse me, on the same date as Christy, 5-1, but he is born in 1957 and is I believe he's compounded. I don't have his master number written out. Hi there.
Hi. I got in.
You did get in. A lot of people dropped all at once, so you got lucky today. Probably they were thinking they weren't going to get on. We have a very short amount of time. Go ahead quickly with your question, Nathaniel.
I found a part-time job. It pays under minimum wage. It's under the table. What do you think if I should take it or not?
Yeah, take it.
Okay.
Take
something.
Take it. It's just a step. You know, sometimes you get across the river, you got to use small stones. You find your balance. Those guys that just climbed that El Capitan or whatever it was, you know, you use whatever crevice you got. And so I would say to take it right now, Nathaniel. It's a sign that we worked hard and got you something. And what kind of work is it?
It's security work.
Okay.
It's under the table. It's under minimum wage, and it's
you're
graveyard.
You're
going to
be guarding something under a table.
Yeah, under the table. You're going to be with all the dogs with the scraps. That's where you. That's why it's under. It's minimum wage because that's where you get your scraps under the table. But don't worry, you know, Nathaniel. I'm going to use that as a stepping stone towards a higher position. It's just getting you back on track.
Okay.
So, you know, take it, and then we'll work from there into building it. In one step leads to another step, and, you know, we finally reach the top. That's what I think is going on here. So start off there and keep your energy high. And the security work has involved what environment, what area, without giving away too much of your privacy?
It's like a hotel, and it's graveyard on the weekends, and I think there's some homeless around there, and I just kind of want to patrol around. I don't want to, get too physical or authoritarian around there. I just want to let people know my presence is around and walking, and I'll be shining a flashlight around and, you know, keeping an eye on things.
Okay, and regarding that, I'm going to put a protective angel around your back just because security
Great.
Work involves its own risks, and you're dealing with homeless who can be a little bit schizophrenic at times. So
Right.
I'm going to put a strong angel on your left and right side and just have them protect you throughout your duties, and then lead you to something higher in after that, okay? I mean higher on the planet, not
I know.
Within this world.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, it works out.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Keep us posted. And Nathaniel can join us on Facebook if he hasn't already, on Twitter, and also follow our fan page on our other Facebook page. We have a friend page and a fan page. What were you going to say?
Where did he say he was doing security work?
At a hotel.
Hotel, yeah.
Yeah, at a hotel. Well, it's interesting. You would think that a hotel would actually pay, you know, legitimately, but maybe it's
yeah.
more of a motel
well,
than a hotel. I don't know.
Probably some of the bigger chains do, but, you know, some of the small might have different ideas
standards
about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, the old Western
could be a
days
privately owned
when they
place,
had hotels, and they were just like lone standing hotels in the West. You
yeah,
know?
You would think that something corporate owned wouldn't do that, though, because I don't know. You know,
well,
the standards
yeah.
that a corporation has for following the letter of the law.
I mean, it's kind of rude to pay under.
It
under
really
the,
is
under the minimum wage.
It's definitely obnoxious, and it probably feels a little bit, you know, like
yeah.
you're kind of grabbing for scraps under the table, if you
right.
will.
But, you know,
but
there's still something significant in terms of the other journey that this man is walking on that may be leading to something.
Right, and, you know, like you said, it could be leading to something
yeah.
else. So follow the energy line, Nathaniel. Okay, we're out of time, Neil, and we are back on the air on Monday morning. Thanks, everyone, for your participation. Bye-bye.